For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
One of those things, a couple of guys.
Andy Randy.
Having discussion.
I be on it all night, man. I be on it all day. Straight up pimp. If you want me, you can find me in that.
What are you looking at me like that for?
What you talking about? We're supposed to make eye contact.
It's the Midday Show with
Andy Barker and my son, my baby boy, Randy McMichael.
When I crack open this mic.
That was the most media member thing that's ever been said.
Starring Randy Montez McMichael as Randy and my firstborn son, Andrew Stephen Bunker as Andy.
You can't say Randy without saying Andy. It's the Andy and Randy Midday Show.
Boring answer.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it and use the fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah. Good morning. Welcome in. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for being with us. Hopefully everybody got to enjoy the extra day off yesterday. Certainly enjoyed all of the football over the weekend. Good morning to you, Randy. How are you?
What's happening, man? Yeah, man. Hopefully everybody had a wonderful, wonderful weekend as, big college football weekend, big time here in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. Obviously, NFL week starts to
– Yep. Week one, baby.
Whatever. But, I mean, we got football in 2 days in the NFL, talking about the kickoff between Baltimore and Kansas City. This is an all-around good weekend. I know a couple Florida State fans – It's bad.
It's bad.
It's really bad.
It's bad.
It's really bad. And then, you know, I mean, it was just so many good games. So many, you got to finally see what people were talking about, the whole thing down in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he just looked just like he was out there just playing around.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you.
I guess it's
just a matter of being surrounded by more
talented players.
Because I've watched Cam Ward play quite a bit of football, and I've seen him have good games. I never seen him look like that.
No, he was
like that. That was a clinic that he put on. He plays. I mean, obviously he's playing very fast, but it almost looks like he's operating in slow motion
right. Because
he's so far mentally ahead of what's happening.
Yep.
And yeah, if you're a Miami fan, you're obviously fired up about it anyway because it's college football and you're diehard and all that kind of stuff. You go into the swamp,
yep.
And you do that.
They beat the hell out of Florida.
And I don't know. I thought Florida would have a little bit more pride in it. I mean, I know they were bringing back a lot of guys from last year.
Sometimes when we talk about show your pride, sometimes you just get your ass kicked.
Yeah, sometimes it's just not as good.
That just happens, man. And, I mean, obviously, you know, you saw that. Great win by the Dogs over here in Mercedes-Benz. You know, just a stalemate. I saw Clemson's defensive line. Goodness gracious.
Yes.
Number 11?
They're very good.
He is a top 10 pick in the making right there. But, yeah, Georgia just, you know, it was like, you know, it was like going to just like Novakin. Just give it time. Mm-hmm. They'll weigh you down and everything like that. And then you saw the second half them open it up. And obviously the score was what the score was. But, you know, taking away that everybody is – the transfer portal wouldn't say Dabo yesterday. I mean, Saturday?
No. That's not why Clemson lost the game.
No.
But when that's also part of it, that makes it worse.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you can be stubborn and good, but you can't be stubborn and mediocre.
Right.
And that's just a part of it. You know what I mean? That's more of a narrative thing than a real, like, X's and O's in that instance against Georgia. They weren't going to beat Georgia.
No.
And I don't know who is, given the way that they played on Saturday afternoon against Clemson. It was almost like both of the kickoff games combined. It was the first Clemson game from 21 for the first half, and then it was the Oregon game from 22 in the
second
half.
I kind of said that on Friday. You're like, I was like, well, I guess it'd be a little bit of both.
Well,
but I thought that, you know, Georgia just controlled the game with their defense.
They were very conservative in the first half, but credit to Clemson's defense for making them be that way.
Yeah, it was annoying because you're sitting there like, okay, make a play, and then it's like, oh, You know, I think that, you know, I think one of the more underrated parts of Georgia's team is their special teams. They got great kickers. Sure. They got great punters. They cover really, really well and everything. And you know, they weren't able to, Clemson wasn't able to really get a drive started. I think that the one good drive they had, that we gave them stuff. I mean, give credit to the tight end. It was a hell of a catch he made, but then you get the late hit on the quarterback and everything like that. But then Georgia was able to buckle down and hold them to 3 points. And I thought just Carson Beck, he was good. He wasn't great. He missed the throw that it would have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
You know, but I thought
couple misses.
But I thought that, you know, the transfer receivers that came in,
couple touchdowns. And again,
right,
that's
there.
What makes it worse.
Yes,
is you're going to lose anyway. If Georgia didn't have any transfers and you did, it wasn't going to. I mean, this the talent that Georgia's recruiting at is making the difference. But when you know all of the storylines leading into it for Clemson, and then you go out there and you lose like that, yep. And Georgia has a couple transfer players scoring touchdowns on you, and you don't have any guys like that. And I mean, it's a different world, man. Like Clemson has returned to earth. Like they had a great run, and it's over. Like, it just is what it is. Like, they're just not one of those teams in college football anymore. Maybe they can get back there. I think you probably have to be willing to use all the avenues towards team building in order to really get there. But, if they had gone out in the transfer portal in this offseason, that game probably still goes the way that it goes on Saturday. But you can't be competitive with the top teams in the country and not use all of the tools at your disposal. And Clemson just isn't doing that right now. So,
no.
And again, he's earned the right, I suppose, to be stubborn and do it his way. Eventually, that'll run out. Like, a couple national championships certainly buy you time, but not forever.
No.
Like,
oh,
eventually, people are going to turn on you, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
But Georgia's the best team in college football.
They were flying.
And I think Dabo said it afterwards. I mean, they do that to teams.
Yeah, and they do.
They're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to be one of those teams gets that done to you, but you are. And at least he was honest about it. At least he's got some self-awareness to know that they're not one of those teams anymore.
No. No, they're not. And I think, you know, you were hoping, I knew probably that Klubnik would have probably played better than he did. I mean, Georgia's defense was just flying around. I thought that, you know, this kid, Jalen Walker, was as advertised. A lot of people talked about that young man because he's playing both off the ball and on the edge. And, I mean, he was just wrecking stuff yesterday. And I mean, on Saturday afternoon, I just thought the way they flew to the ball, the assignment in the gap technique, it's so precise. Like, you can tell they do it all day. And it's like, we're one string, and we don't want to let our guy down by being out of our gap. And, I mean, I just thought that everything they did was just so well. They played on the other side of the ball. Clemson had a couple of good runs, but it wasn't anything that was going to be back-breaking. And, you know, you look around, and, you know, as far as the explosive plays, they had a few of those. The run game is about time they let the young man go ahead and run the football. Nothing, because Branson ain't played football a long time.
Yeah.
He hasn't played football a long time, so he's still working himself back into, you know, being ready to be a gamer and all those different things. But the young boy just hit the hole faster.
Yeah, he was just more explosive.
It was just more explosive.
And you could see it.
The first couple
times he touched the ball, it's like, okay, well, I understand he's a true freshman,
right,
and you want Branson obviously was the guy that you wanted to be featuring in the run game.
Right.
If you want the run game to work, you got to give it to
him. You
got
to give him the ball. You got to.
And they kept giving it to him, and it kept working.
Yes,
and that was like, because again, he was kind of the, because you never know, because we don't get to see any of the stuff in fall camp. You just kind of get some of the rumors. He was the hot rumor guy.
Yes,
he was like the Brock Bowers from a couple of years ago. It's like, hey, pay attention to this true freshman.
Yes,
and he went out there on Saturday and he made his statement upon arrival.
He played well, man. I love it's always fun when you see the veterans in the background, because he had one, he was gonna break it and he tripped over his own feet. Like he was gonna get busy.
I know.
With tripped over his own feet. And I love the homage to the other running backs with Sony Ty Gurley.
Got the Gurley bow.
Yeah,
and the
happy hands. It was awesome and everything. But yeah, I thought they played a really good game. I think there's still a lot of work to do when you talk about going against a more accomplished, better passing quarterback, because Alabama, Milroe, I think Caleb Boyer is a hell of a coach. You know how I feel about him.
Mm-hmm.
He's a hell of an offensive coach, and he works well with quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And if he can get Jalen to throw the way he runs,
yeah, he's going to get the absolute most out of Jalen Milroe. They played a team that they were going to take advantage of on Saturday, and they did. So they did what they were supposed to do. They put up a million points. There was a lot of teams in the SEC that did what they were supposed to do as far as that goes. There were some teams that didn't as well, unfortunately. Obviously, the standalone game on Sunday night in Vegas, I know the LSU fans won the Vegas of it. There's no doubt about that.
I'm going to tell you something, man.
USC did a really nice job in the portal, and they made that defense into something respectable.
Exactly. Yeah. They were flying around and everything. The quarterback, is he going to be better because he can play in the structure of the offense that Lincoln Riley wants?
Right. He's a little bit less of a freestyler than Caleb Williams.
Yeah.
Certainly not as good.
No, I'm not saying he's good, but I'm just talking about just the structure. But he damn sure looked good. He made some throws.
Willie Moss made some
receivers
nice
made some coaches. I mean, catches and everything. And Brian Kelly, you know, just stop with the whole
slammy
and all that other stuff. Anybody want to hear that? Your team is undisciplined as hell.
Yep.
Okay. And that's the reason they lost that football game. They were undisciplined, had double the many amount of, you know, when you were talking about dumb penalties.
Dumb
and
penalties at the wrong time.
Yes. That's what your team did.
That's what it was.
Yeah. That's you. That's you coaching and allowing that to happen. So, yeah, I don't want to hear all you slamming down on the table and none of that crap like that. And, you know, but they're still a good one. They still got a lot of good players on LSU. The kid, the receiver, he did the dumb thing, but he looked like he's going to be a superstar. I mean, the boy can go out there and ball. But, yeah, I mean, it was just a great weekend. I thought Notre Dame showed a lot.
I do, too.
I think Notre Dame, they showed a lot. And I loved it from the get-go when Marcus led them out that damn tunnel and was talking his talk, pounding his chest. I love that they went in there and, you know, that's a hostile place to go and play a football game. Opening day, night down there. And they went down there and they smashed.
There's three teams that I give the most credit to this weekend. Yes. And I'm not to take credit away from Georgia, but there's three teams that went on the road and won tough games. We already talked about Miami going into the Swamp. Not a tough game, they went on the road. They get a little extra credit.
They went a tough out there.
Yeah. Notre Dame going into Texas A&M and winning that one. And then it was hostile in West Virginia.
Yeah, man.
And it started off as a slog, and then the weather kind of came, and Penn State kind of leaned on him, and I love that running back Penn State has, man. Nick Singleton's a great player.
Allert did. He looked.
They let him throw it finally.
He looked the part.
Yeah.
He looked the part, letting the ball go and everything. Then obviously we talked about last night. That's just a disaster down there. I didn't realize this is the third time in 5 years they've been 0-2 down in Florida State.
Yeah.
I mean, he was never going to get that Alabama gig, I don't think, but I mean, he did, you know, being at the right place at the right time, forced to get the extension. But, yeah, they got problems down there.
Well, because now they're 0-2, right? So, I mean, I guess you can still win the ACC and go, but, like, there's not a lot of reason to think they could do that.
Yes.
Now you start to – because guys don't want to waste a year.
Nope.
I mean, it happens.
It does. And Billy Oakland coach now.
Overhyped teams that fall flat on their face in September.
Yeah, man.
Guys,
check out.
Let me not waste this year.
Guys, check out.
Let me get in the portal, see if I can get someplace else.
Guys, check out.
Yeah, they really run the risk of that happening.
Yeah, man.
And Bill O'Brien's a good coach.
He's a good football coach.
Castellanos can play quarterback, and they got some dudes on that team for sure. But that was bad.
He was shaky, but damn, they dropped a lot of balls. I'm talking about that. Whew. But, yeah, they got problems down in Florida State.
All right, so Laura Rutledge is going to join us next, ESPN college football host, SEC Network as well. We'll talk more about the college football weekend with Laura Rutledge. We'll get into a little bit of what's trending as well, obviously, as it is Tuesday. We haven't talked to you since Friday.
Game week!
Big weekend. Yeah, week one of the NFL season. It's here, man. You're in it. Enjoy it. Look around. Football season is upon us. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game Midday Show. Andy and Randy with you here Tuesday morning.
Grinding.
Again, hopefully everybody had an awesome weekend.
Yeah, man.
Took advantage of the extra day. I saw you guys got up to the mountains a little bit.
Yeah, man. I was doing
sitting there Riverside.
Yeah, Daddy was out in them camping street. Now I went camping because y'all know I don't sleep in tents and that. But yeah, we sat out by the river.
Camping means you spent the night.
Yeah, I ain't sleeping outside
in the wilderness.
Yeah, no, you know me. I gotta have 5 walls, multiple rooms, and flat screen TVs to call it camping.
You got 5 walls in your room?
Well, you know what I mean, man. I need rooms. I need space.
Got it.
I can't sleep in no tent.
I just didn't know your bedroom was a pentagon.
Need a cabin.
Got it.
Thank you. That's camping.
Yeah, you need a roof.
Yes.
And air conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
I understand. All right. We'll get back into the big weekend, including Randy's outdoor adventures that happened over the weekend. Mike Conti is going to join us in 20 minutes as well. Nice game for Penn State. Obviously, Atlanta United with a win over the weekend. But joining us right now from ESPN, brought to you by the Honey Baked Ham Company, is Laura Rutledge. Laura, how are you?
Hey.
I'm great. How are you guys?
Doing well.
Obviously
well.
Reacted to what was a really, really fun week one in college football. We'll just start with the SEC and start on a positive note. Who would you say, from an SEC perspective, was the biggest winner of this weekend?
I think it was Georgia. I mean, a lot of the conversation going into the game against Clemson was, oh, you know, maybe this is going to be low scoring and maybe we should be a little bit afraid of Clemson and Georgia, you know, has all this pressure. And they just went out and dominated. And I think it was just a big statement moment of, yeah, we're the number one team, deservedly so. And even though we have a really difficult schedule, we're ready for it. You just felt like Georgia looked unstoppable in so many ways. And look, maybe it's more about Clemson not being what we thought they were, but right. It's still difficult to win those games week one. I give them a ton of credit, and I think Kirby Smart has done a great job in the offseason with this team.
Laura, why is it so much? Because is it because of the times we're in now with this transfer portal and the NILs that Dabo gets the blowback that he gets? I mean, he still has one of the more talented rosters in college football. He said so on the program, but is it just because of how everybody else seems? Because people who get transferred all the time, they don't win a championship, but why is it so different for him?
Yeah, it's interesting. I think people are turned off by the way that he sort of talks as though he's above some of what other coaches are doing and other programs are doing to have success. And, you know, maybe that's not fair to him. I think it's just how he is. I like him, you know, like I think he's fine. I don't have an issue with him. I do think in today's day and age of college football, when everybody else is sort of doing this transfer portal thing, because that's what it is now, to run counter to that, if you're having great success and you're winning championships and you're in the conversation every single year, then more power to you. But the problem is, you know, Clemson was right up there at the top of the college football playoff there for a few years in the preeminent programs in college football. And they've taken a step back. And so, you know, the two things are not, it's not like, hey, we're doing it our way and we're still going to the top. It's not been that. And I think that's where some of the frustration or maybe some of the doubters lie.
Yeah, I'm with you. Like, I like that he's going about it his way. Like, he's not making any apologies for it. But when the stubbornness doesn't result in the elite winning like it did, some of the stubbornness maybe rubs the fan base the wrong way. And I understand how it would. Laura Rutledge joining us, ESPN college football host, talking a little college football coming out of week one. If Georgia was the biggest winner of the SEC weekend, who had the worst weekend from an SEC perspective?
I think it was LSU, you guys. And you could say Florida as an argument. It'd be a strong argument, but I think the expectations were so low for Florida in knowing the pressure on Billy Napier this year and just that the roster is not at the level that it needs to be to win. Now, getting embarrassed at home by Miami is not the worst case scenario start, right? But they're in a different category to me because I think a lot of us, and I was guilty of this, and listen, I don't think it's over for LSU. I still think they can 100% be a playoff caliber team, but I thought they would come out looking a lot better, a lot better coached. There were so many things that I thought would be improved that we didn't necessarily see. And we've seen Brian Kelly, like obviously he went viral for his rant. He's taking ownership of some of this, but they just needed to be better. I mean, they haven't won these opener games in forever, and you credit them for playing them, right? You credit them for scheduling these big-time games that lead to strength of schedule at the end of the season, but I just felt like they didn't look as prepared as I thought they would. And to me, that was such a huge opportunity. USC deserves a ton of credit because they were better than we had expected, right? The preseason rankings are so hard to figure out. And they really look like a talented team. And, I mean, watch out, Big Ten. It's, like, still kind of shocking to think about them being in the Big Ten. But But I did not expect LSU. It wasn't even that they lost the game, but just the way that they looked at times, I didn't expect that to happen.
What about the game down in College Station? I mean, you're more impressed with Notre Dame, but kind of shocked that A&M allowed them to come into their house. Obviously, the atmosphere was where it was going to be, crowd, everything like that. And Marcus Freeman takes his team in there and pretty much decisively kind of manhandled A&M as the game went along.
Yeah, I mean, you guys, if you've been to Kyle Field, that atmosphere I would put in, honestly, the top three most difficult to play in the SEC. It is so crazy in there. It is so loud. It is so daunting. And for Notre Dame to come in, there was so much familiarity, too, on the Mike Elko side with Riley Leonard and what he would be doing. And yet still, Notre Dame and Marcus Freeman just get the better of them. I think my biggest takeaway, aside from the fact that I think Notre Dame has a really nice path to the playoff and they should be in a really good spot, is that Marcus Freeman is just one of the coolest, calmest coaches in college football right now. He seemed unfazed. I mean, even when he's challenging things and when he's, you know, trying to coach in this crazy environment, maybe communication was difficult, you never saw it, right? And I love watching games in person, but I love watching games on TV because you can see their faces, you can see what's going on. It's like this up close look and you get such a different view. And in watching the broadcast, I'm like, all right, this guy's gonna flinch at some point, and he just doesn't. You know, he's so good. He's really fun to watch coach. And so yeah, that was not the look that Notre Dame needed. That A&M needed. I was a little bit shocked too. I thought Connor Wegman would be better. He's one of like the sneaky, I think, more talented quarterbacks than we give him credit for in the SEC. But this game certainly didn't help his case when it comes to how he would be viewed not only in the SEC but also in the future for the NFL draft.
ESPN college football host Laura Rutledge joining us here on the midday show with Andy and Randy. I don't know that Florida State could have had a worse start to the season than they've had, or maybe even a worse end to the season last year. What happens now, do you think? Because I think there's a number of different paths that this could take. How do you think they respond to the way this season started?
Yeah, this may be like one of the more interesting stories that we look back on in college football, like this brutal, unfair disappointment of last year. And like even what happened to Jordan Travis just being devastating. Even if you hate Florida State, you still feel for them and what they went through and sure, missing out on the playoff when many thought they were deserving of it and all of that. It makes so much sense. But then for there to be such a hangover so far, and I don't know the right way to fix that, right? I mean, some of it has to do with talent, but it does feel like Mike Norvell, you know, they sort of wallowed in so much self-pity that you wonder if it is difficult to shed that. And I think we're seeing a bit of that. There is some credit, certainly, that goes to Georgia Tech, that goes to Boston College. But come on, this is Florida State. This is a team that many believe should have been in the college football playoff last year, and there's not that much difference, except for maybe you say, well, there is because you didn't have Jordan Travis, and this is what they look like without him. But that does go to the coaching part of this, and it goes to the grabbing guys in the transfer portal part of this. And I think they're going to figure it out. Like, this start to the season is not who they are. They'll be better than this, but it might be too late, guys. I mean, how do you come back? It's different now with the expanded playoffs, but how do you come back in a season where you lose to lesser opponents? There's just no other way to look at it. Even if you want to give credit to Georgia Tech, which my dad went there, so Dad, if you're listening, I am giving credit to Georgia Tech here. They deserve it. But but still, it seems like a really insurmountable task. And that's what I'll be fascinated to see. You know, can they win the ACC somehow and like have this redemption part of their season and still make it to the playoffs? They very well could, and it could end up being a nice turnaround story. But right now, that's still far away.
We were talking earlier. And one of our favorite parts about college football weekend is your lovely daughter, and I just want to know because she is amazing when she does the energy. Is there any practicing with her, or is she just like got it right there?
No, so it's actually pretty funny because this year, you know, every year we ask her if she wants to do this again. And I'm waiting for the year when she says no, because it's going to be, I think, upsetting for all of us, right?
Yes.
It's going to feel like, oh no, it's the end of an era. But But anyway, she, you know, she wanted to do it again this year. And really what I do is tell her the teams. And I might give her, you know, sometimes she knows the quarterbacks because she loves football. But I'll give her, like, the quarterbacks. I'll give her some information, like a little scouting report on the game. And then, you know, we'll kind of go through it. And sometimes she'll get distracted in the past. And, like, she'll run around. She'll come back. We'll finish it later, whatever. This year, and I don't know, I probably should knock on some wood. I'm probably jinxing myself. She's 4 years old. She was just freelancing on that thing. I mean, she was just like all of it this week. I mean, if you haven't seen it, it's on my Twitter account and Instagram. But she was just like all that stuff she was coming up with herself. And we were like, oh, my God. I think she is better than me on TV right now. And I should just quit because she is so much better. And she, you know, she should be doing this instead. But it's so fun. She's such a treasure, and I appreciate you saying that.
So my daughter is also 4,
yes.
And it was on at the house, and I was like, "Hey, look, Lil, there's a little girl on TV picking games." She thought it was the coolest thing she'd ever seen.
She was like, "Wait, what?"
Like, she's a kid like me. And I'm like, "Yeah." And then your son's name is Jack. My son, also 1-year-old, named Jack, which is kind of weird.
Love it.
Yeah. So she was like, "Wait, Jack's on TV?" I was like, "No, that's kind of not." But anyways, it was awesome. Hey, we appreciate.
Yeah, by the way, Jack, our Jack has no idea what's going on. Oh. Like, he's a mess, and he's probably going to knock her set down or, like, mess something up. There's going to be something disastrous with him this year, but it'll be caught on camera, I feel sure.
Awesome. Awesome. We love it. Hey, we appreciate
Thank you so much.
Time. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks, guys.
Laura Rutledge there, so ESPN college football host. She's on the SEC Nation pregame show as well. And if you haven't seen it, like, I forget her little girl's name.
It's Reese.
Reese, that's
yes,
right.
Yes, Reese.
And she's picking games. She's just
awesome.
On TV picking games. And then little Jack is on there with her too, messing with her and all kinds of stuff. So very, very cute, very funny. Laura Rutledge interview, by the way, brought to you by the Honey Baked Ham Company. They're back with new game day offerings this year. To the game day menu are honey-baked, limited-time-only, take-and-bake pulled pork, Cuban sliders, honey-baked game day boxes, honey-baked bone-in half ham, boneless ham, and much more. Visit honeybaked.com/gameday to buy online and pick up in-store. Or head to your local honey-baked store.
Love it. Love
me
some honey-baked ham.
I like ham.
Hell yeah. How can you not, dude? Other than having to put all that stuff. Like, do you... Like, put the what's that stuff, the honey in between each slice?
Mm-mm.
Okay. All right. I'm really, like, kind
of
anti those people.
My thing with ham.
I'm very anti.
You don't have to do a ton.
You don't have to. It's ham.
It tastes like ham.
It's ham.
So good. It's just salty and delicious.
But honey baked, that's the way to go right there.
That's the way to go.
I appreciate her. But if you have not seen it, she's the cutest thing. The energy that she comes with is just great.
Lily really was. She was like, what?
And she always seems to pick Georgia.
Yeah, smart kid.
She always picks Georgia.
Smart kid.
Yeah, she always picks Georgia.
All right, this hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com, get a guaranteed offer on your home today, and start packing. Mike Conte is going to join us on the other side, get his thoughts on the first weekend of college football, get his thoughts on the arrival of week one in the NFL as well. Atlanta United also with a nice win over
Take
the weekend.
Take that, Willie P.
Plenty to talk about with Mike Conte after this on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Back to more Andy and Randy.
Andy and Randy on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Tuesday morning. 20 minutes away from an NFL no huddle. As it is week one officially in the National Football League. We'll start looking ahead. Sunday's a big day. Obviously, Thursday is the first game. There's a game on Friday as well in Brazil.
Yeah, man. I just talked to Dylan. Dylan and his lady Simone, they're going down there.
That's awesome.
I'm like, that's going to be so awesome. He's got guys, get him some pointers. Stay where the tours are. Mm-hmm. Stay where the tours are. Don't jump in a car because he sees a cab. No. Because I'm telling you. There's going to be some busted up people down there
that's going
to get drunk and going to go the wrong way.
There's going to be
down the back alley.
Eagles fans
and
that
get
make
hemmed up down
expensive
there.
Expensive mistakes.
Yeah, so just be careful. Yep. That's why I said be careful down
no
there.
No doubt about it. This hour is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. 11:40 on Tuesdays means Mike Conte joins the show.
It's time to check in with Atlanta United and Atlanta Hawks broadcaster Mike Conte.
Lines it forward, a shot, score!
Brought to you by Lindy and the Empower Home Team.
That was a great weekend for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody won.
Everybody won. Coach that was
hot,
great.
Coach Hot Sauce had him hot early, though.
I saw the tweet.
I was like, oh.
I don't disagree.
I don't disagree.
I don't care what the analytics
say.
I don't care what the analytics say. And I know this is being a thing now.
Right.
Never go for two unless it's absolutely necessary.
I don't
get it.
It's a momentum killer.
Well, yes. And in that game, unfortunately, West Virginia is not nearly as good as I thought they would be.
Right.
But you take the crowd, and that crowd was in a frenzy. You take him completely out of the game. You know, you go on this march, this beautiful touchdown drive, and you throw away all that momentum by a nonsense two-point conversion that never had a prayer. It was some goofy, you know, gadget play. It never had a prayer. You put the crowd right back in the game. Yep. Don't do it unless it's absolutely necessary. I have to give Dylan a pep talk, by the way. I'm nervous about this guy going to Brazil. Dylan is like the nicest guy in the world.
But Dylan got some kill in him now.
Well,
Dylan got some
I don't want him to have to Dylan use it. Kill in him. That's the problem.
What was the pep talk revolving around?
I just said, look, Dylan, you're such a nice guy. You know, you have a very kind demeanor.
Yes.
I don't want you taken advantage of by you making eye contact with someone you shouldn't make eye contact with. You know, he has never been out of the country.
Yes. Mm.
So his first trip out of the country is not like to Canada or
normally
the
we
Bahamas
do training wheels.
Or
we do Canada.
Yeah. He's going to Brazil.
Dive in, baby.
Brazil. Like, he can't tweet for help down there. They banned it. You know, Twitter is banned down there.
But he got his girl. Simone. Hey.
Simone and their travel party. Yeah, and I've been informed of who's in their travel party. And I feel a little bit better after that. Yeah. But
if he went by himself.
He's such a nice young man.
If he went by himself, I'd be like worried. But he was Simone. Simone got it.
All right.
Simone, take care.
Well,
he's a responsible young man. Like, he's not the type of person that's going to have too much to drink and wander off. You know?
No.
Like,
and quite frankly, I know they go to a lot of Eagles home games. Mm-hmm. One could argue that Sapalo is actually like much tamer in South Philadelphia at night.
Yeah, because there's going to be some Eagles fans that don't behave correctly.
But remember, you're
and
not
have
even
a bad time.
You've been they've been told to not even wear green because that is the color of a street gang of some kind, a violence gang. So, they're not even going to be able to wear team colors. And the Packers are going to have to wear yellow, and the Eagles are going to have to wear black. I don't know. So,
I bet there are going to be some Eagles fans down there in green.
I'm sure they will. Yeah,
that old school,
we're tough. We're from Philly.
I'm from Philadelphia.
I'm from Fishtown. This is nothing. It's like, okay, well, be sure that's your Uber and not just someone's car.
Uh-huh.
Anyhow, yeah, really glad for Penn State. Interesting weekend in general. I was texting with our buddy John, the Miami fan.
Mm-hmm.
I said, look, man, I think the most impressive teams week one, you have to say, were the teams that went on the road and did what they did. And I would throw a neutral site in there as well with Southern Cal. I was really impressed by them and the way they got after it defensively. But Penn State, Miami, Southern Cal, and Notre Dame, I think, are the four teams that should climb the most in the polls this week. They won't climb at all because everyone ahead of them won.
Mm-hmm.
Oregon, I think, should be punished for only winning by 10 against an FCS team. They won't drop, though, because no one's paying attention.
I was.
But, well, I know you were.
I was delighting.
Yes.
But
Idaho had them on the ropes, man. It was 17-14 in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
Texting all my Oregon fans.
I do wonder, though, like after what happened last night, if we're looking at Georgia Tech through a slightly different lens now.
Meaning what, not as valuable of a win?
The win against Florida State might not be quite as meaningful because Florida State appears to just be awful.
Right.
But I was happy for Bill O'Brien. I have a soft spot for him, what he did with Penn State. I think he's an excellent college coach, and he showed that last night. So really fun week. It was just great to sit around before Atlanta United on Saturday and have eight different games on at once. I miss that, and I'm glad it's back.
What'd you think about Georgia game as far as, you know, just playing? I don't want to say playing around, but just trying to fill them out and just wait them out or something.
Patient. Really patient, really solid. You know, that was a 6-0 game at halftime that felt like it was 24-0.
It did.
You just never had the feeling that Clemson was going to be able to move the ball on them. So really patient, really, really solid. You know, the whole ETN thing, that distraction is behind you now, hopefully, if it even was a distraction, which it looks like it wasn't. I love how there's suddenly now this referendum on Dabo that has come out of what happened on Saturday. Georgia does this to everyone other than Alabama.
Right.
Like, this is nothing to give Dabo a demerit over. I mean, you could have a larger discussion about his lack of willingness to go into the transfer portal and get guys, but I don't think losing to Georgia 34-6, was that the score?
No, three.
Or three?
Yeah. It was three.
That doesn't make you a bad coach. That makes you everyone other than Saban. Pretty think much. About it.
Right.
I mean, that's.
But the problem is, though, is that not too long ago, he was up there. Now, it was never Saban, but yeah. Clemson was the program that was the, okay, people do this to everyone but Alabama and us. You know what
right,
I mean?
Right.
And they were the program that was the one that did stuff to Alabama.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, they beat them in national championships. And it's just not that anymore. Like, it's just, it is hard to get there. It's very hard to stay there. I think when you're not taking advantage of all of the tools at your disposal,
mm-hmm.
transfer portal and otherwise, it's going to make your fan base mad. And I don't know, like, if I'm a Clemson fan and that happens on Saturday, and then the reaction is, well, they do that to everybody. It's like, but we're not supposed to be everybody.
Right. Now, that's
we're not
true.
Supposed to be everybody.
That's
we're supposed
true.
To be them.
But unfortunately,
clearly you're not.
Clemson the last 3 years has kind of become everyone else.
Yeah, they are.
You know,
they're a good program.
They're,
but they're
a
not,
good program,
not a
but
great program.
Yeah, they have fallen from that elite status.
Yep.
So I think right now your elites are Georgia, Ohio State, Michigan for now, because they are the defending national champion. I think Michigan's about to have two losses. Yeah, I think they're about to lose two in a row to Texas and Southern Cal.
Mm-hmm.
Based on what I saw from Michigan Saturday night, what I saw from Southern Cal and Texas.
Yeah.
Michigan is about to take two L's, but for the moment, we'll put them in the elite because they are the defending national champion. Oregon is probably there.
We're going to find out.
Alabama, I keep them there. Clemson's not in that discussion right now. They're in tier two.
Right.
They're with Penn State, Notre Dame, Washington.
Miami.
For now.
I don't
now.
Even know what tier Washington's on.
Yeah.
It's really hard to say.
Well,
they played good.
They are the defending national finalists.
That's right.
Until beaten, they're tier two.
Yeah. They played pretty good on Saturday.
For whatever the tiers.
Thanks for
even
staying up, by the way.
Oh, dude.
Appreciate it.
I was hanging in there with you, brother. I was hanging in there with you, brother.
There was a controversy with Big Ten Network.
Yeah,
and,
we were at my in-laws, and they've got YouTube TV.
Oh, okay.
So we were watching it.
Yeah.
I stayed up till halftime, and then I watched the second half Sunday morning.
I was hanging there with you. Mike, real quick, because you mentioned already, United got the win.
Yes.
Charlotte. I saw the kid with Jay, is it Fortune?
Jay Fortune.
Jay Fortune.
Yes.
I know he's a local kid kind of up from up that area and everything, getting his first MLS goal. What was the deciding factor, and how can you build off of that right there?
Well, you know, here's the unfortunate part. You now have 2 weeks off before
right.
you get to play again. Just when you're getting a little bit of momentum going, now you have to hit the brakes again, which is tough. But this will give Alexei Moranchuk a little more time now to develop some training ground chemistry with the rest of the team, which I think is important because he really strikes me, guys, as more of a Steph Curry, more of a distributor than someone who's going to be scoring a ton of goals. Like, I think Moranchuk, this is someone you're going to look at long term. You want him to have double-digit assists. And if he gives you 8 or 9 goals on top of it, that is a bonus because he doesn't shoot a lot. Now, granted, I've only seen him play for 120 minutes,
right.
So a limited sample size. But that's what I came away with. Hopefully now he gets a little time to build some chemistry. Your first match back is against Nashville, their last place in the East. You hope you win that. We were doing the math up there in Charlotte. We think Atlanta United needs 4 more wins in their last 7 to feel like, okay,
man,
they're probably going to be in. That's going to be tough. They can do it. They have 4 home games left. If they win all 4 of their home games, there you go. But they've not been very good at home this year. And one of their home games is against
that guy.
Yeah, I don't think the little guy will play.
Okay.
But
I saw that they said that was probably going to be his time.
The little guy won't play, okay. I don't think. But I think his super friends will play.
Okay.
So, like, Suarez and Jordi Alba and Busquets and all those guys. Like, and, look, even without him, they're running away right now with everything, with the supporter shield. So that's going to be tough. If you feel like they're not going to beat Miami at home, then you're going to need to find one more win on the road. And what's interesting is if Atlanta United wins another game on the road this year, they will have reached their season high in road wins since 2019.
Wow.
If you can believe it. I don't know if that's a good thing or not, because it would be five. Right. That's a very low number, but it's hard to win on the road in MLS.
But so, also, like, all their biggest moments this year have been these crazy, almost unexpected road wins. Like, Miami was
the
one.
The one in Miami was crazy. So far out of left field.
Totally out of left field.
Yeah.
Let me amend an earlier statement. I said great weekend. It can only be so great when you do make a trip to Charlotte. But at least you got to go up there and the team won.
Did you know there is a neighborhood in Charlotte? What do they call it? Myers Park?
Sounds like a dump.
No. 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 We had dinner there. There was a university, Queens University. Have you heard of it?
Mm-mm.
Okay.
Like a junior college kind of?
No. Like a
trade school?
Rich person
college.
Okay.
And it was in this like neighborhood full of mansions and restaurants. We went to have dinner there Friday night. I'm looking around like, boy, I did not know this part of Charlotte existed. This is great. It looks like, what's that neighborhood over the hill there? Ansley Forest?
Ansley Park, right?
Or Ansley Park. Yeah. It looks a lot like Ansley Park.
Huh.
So totally changed my opinion on Charlotte. Because downtown Charlotte, not a lot going on.
Terrible.
Wow.
When they closed the Dean and DeLuca in downtown Charlotte like 4 or 5 years ago.
That was done.
It might as well close the city.
Pretty much.
I was done.
Yeah, pretty much. So, no. It was a very good trip. It was a quick trip, mm-hmm. which we enjoyed, and it was a good win for them. And you just, hey, I know a lot of attention on the Falcons in college football right now, as well it should be. Atlanta United's still there. They're not dead yet. They are still in the 9 spot. If it ended right now, they would be in the playoffs. They have a game in hand on Toronto, who they're only 2 points behind. So this could potentially turn into something a little bit nice this fall for Atlanta United, but they got to keep it going.
I'm looking forward to seeing Moranchuk after a couple weeks with
Me
everybody.
Too.
I thought he looked better on Saturday than he did the first time.
Really good player.
Yeah, no doubt. Mike, we appreciate it.
See you guys.
All right, we'll come back. We'll get to an NFL no huddle to kick off the noon hour. It's week one of the National Football League season. Thursday night game right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We got the Green Bay Philadelphia game on WAOK on Friday as well. And then, of course, the Falcons on Sunday. We'll be right back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.